Happy New Year sa lahat ng aming podmates at lignas na bagong taon sa inyong lahat. We have a special guest to open the year. I was never in her class in UP Diliman, but I feel I've been her student for much of my professional life through her writing, lectures, and of course, her segments as Maring Winnie on Unang Hirit. Professor Winnie Monsod, welcome to our podcast and a blessed New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Howie. I'm so glad we passed the past year and now there's new challenges ahead. Parang we're never going to get over something, no?
Yeah, well, good luck to us all. At hindi lang yung pandemya yung challenges sa atin, ano? Yung mga kababayan natin sa South, no? They're still dealing with the effects of a massive typhoon. And of course, we have a lot of political challenges I'll be asking you about. First, a personal question. No, I have to say, Maring Winnie, you amaze me because I know you had a stroke in 2013 and now we see and hear you in 2022 still sharp and active. No, you're a role model for us all.
Well, I am so glad because, you know, I had a stroke in front of an audience. The whole Philippines saw me having a stroke, at least the whole viewership.
Yung audience, you know, yeah, we were very worried, actually, especially since you disappeared for a while, no? And then you bounced back.
Yeah, because we were so lucky. We are near the St. Luke's Hospital in Quezon City. They have a brain team. A stroke team that just came together absolutely like it was totally with no worries at all when I went in there.
That was the emergency response, no? But of course, much of it had to depend on you and how you took care of yourself since then. And so my first question of the new year, any advice for the rest of us who want to be like you? You mentioned earlier you're 81 years old and you're still doing what you've been doing for the past several decades, no? Share a little advice, no? I mean,
exercise.
So you do exercise.
My advice to anybody is if you want to stay healthy, you just exercise. You have to walk. You have to do weights. You have to do all sorts of things, but you cannot just sit on your behind and think that you are going to live long because you're not moving. There are people talaga like that who say, you know, I better not move so that, you know, I will conserve my resources. The moment you don't move, you start to die. So that's it. That's my advice to everybody.
You had a segment on Unang Hirit about the value of swimming, yung how it's such a good exercise for especially for seniors but for everybody also, ano?
Yes, it's good exercise but not for now because the pool is like a refrigerator.
Okay.
My children and grandchildren come every Sunday and they all use the pool, but this Sunday only my son-in-law and my one grandchild, the others, you know, the parents were too cold. Mm-hmm. The only time I do really swimming is in the summer.
Okay. Oo, kahit nasa tropical country tayo, lumalamig din yung tubig sa pool.
Of course, lumalamig din ako.
Yeah. But alam niyo, no, ang daming problema ng ating bansa, no? May pandemya pa rin, bukod sa nangyayari sa politika at ekonomiya, no? Nakaka-stress lahat 'yan. Do you ever feel tempted to just withdraw from being a public personality and, you know, enjoy your private life, enjoy your grandkids and your kids? Why stay in the public eye?
This country is worth fighting for. And this country has been in the hands of a very inept government for the past 6 years. And their ineptitude has caused this country to suffer more from the pandemic than most other countries have suffered. I can say that nobody can possibly dispute this because the country has always been the lowest in management of the pandemic. The country has been the worst in economic performance. And of course, those two are together. They go hand in hand, you know, lives and livelihood go hand in hand. The government just didn't have the mental capability or the competence to do what had to be done. Give you an example. Can you imagine the Secretary of Education saying, well, we will leave it up to the president to decide what should be done about education? Why should he decide about education? That's why the Secretary of Education is there. The Secretary of Education should recommend, you know, what the options are and what the possible effects of those options. Hindi pwedeng sasabihin, abayaan mo na sa Pangulo, siya ang tatay ng bansa. Wow, ridiculous. I mean, Liling Briones is a very good friend of mine, but I will never forgive her for leaving that decision to the president without a strong recommendation on her part. Can you imagine the Philippines is the last to have, you know, some semblance of face-to-face education? We stopped our education services, or we substituted for face-to-face education, this modular thing. And the modular thing was a big failure. Every time I hear her on television or on radio, she says, you know, we left it up to the president. I would have talagang forced the issue, because human capital is the most important resource that we have in the country, our human capital.
Kasi it's not just the students who would be at risk. No, may mga nagsasabi na even the teachers were, some of the teachers were resisting opening during the pandemic dahil pati sila delikado. Well, this is of course before the mass vaccination.
I'm not talking about everybody opening, but in the areas where it was safe, they should have opened it. And while the schools were closed, they should have already done infrastructure work on it so that when time came, you know, after a year, things could be opened safely. But that whole year, or maybe, yeah, that whole year or a year and a half that the Philippines did not move, and they budgeted an enormous amount for infrastructure. And yet the infrastructure that would be the most beneficial to improve our human capital was completely ignored. Build, 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 kasi sila nang build, build, build. Ang gusto ko, remodel, remodel, remodel.
Okay, those are the schools, no? But you're an economist by profession. Ang laki ng tama ng pandemya sa ekonomiya natin. No? Pero may mga nagsasabi na unavoidable yung malaking impact sa economy naman. Dahil buong mundo ay apektado, no? So what could have been done better in terms of the economic
kaya nga ang sinasabi effects ko sa iyo, Howie, buong mundo apektado, pero depende sa leadership ng buong mundo kung saan ang mas apektado. You know, the countries that were led by females it did much, but that this is a study, this is an econometric study, did much better than the male-led countries, because the females have a different priority and they have different risk aversions. And apparently females value lives more than they value numbers or, you know, the economy, etc. They wanted to have the lives, the people healthy so that they could work. And it worked much better than saying lockdown, 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 and then they didn't do anything.
This is related to one of your newer causes, no? Itong Let Women Lead campaign,
oh, yeah,
where you're trying to raise funds and support women candidates for this reason. Sabi mo nga, there's empirical evidence, no? Na women leaders have been able to respond better to this particular crisis, and in general, it reflects their, overall competence then to respond to crises.
And women leaders don't tend to become dictators. They let go when it's time to let go. That's one thing that is also an empirical fact. It's there. Sino ba ito? From India, si
Indira Gandhi.
Indira Gandhi, you know, she imposed martial law, but the moment the Supreme Court said no, you're wrong in imposing martial law, or you know, that's an abuse, she stopped it. You know, the women are more prone to dialogue and discussion, etc., before they make decisions.
Okay, yung may mga sinusulat ka, no, tungkol dito, and you cited these countries led by women who have done well in responding to the pandemic, no? It hasn't occurred to you na maaring coincidence lang yon na, you know, it just happened to be led by women.
The researchers were very, very systematic. They paired countries, near countries, neighboring countries, those alike with them, you know, because there were only 17 female-led countries and were 170 something male-led countries. So they paired the female-led countries with every possible country that looked like them, for example, in income, in population composition, etc. I don't know how many possible combinations, and they all came out the same. Mm-hmm. You know, countries with the same size, countries with this, countries with that, etc. They all came out saying that these countries performed better than the mainland countries.
And these were countries from different regions of the world, and, no? Hindi lang isang region.
All over the world. I mean, you know.
There's Taiwan, New Zealand, in this part of the world, and then yung Scandinavian countries and Germany.
No, but, you know, just think of it. You know, we are half the population, maybe slightly more than half when we are older. We're half the population. And how many are we in government? You know, leading in government. Isn't that a complete waste of resources? And yet, and that is because the women are just, you know, pinapabayaan na lang. Mm-hmm. They, unless they are, of course, with their dynasties, connected with political dynasties. So when I say let women lead, I'm not saying all women are capable of leading. I'm saying let, you know, let women lead who are capable of leading. And my one caveat there is women who are with dynasties, we're not supporting. I mean, mm-hmm. their dynasties have made enough money, you know, of the people of the country. Mm. You know, we are going to support women who really feel that they have something to offer and will have no obligations to money padrones.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a small sample size, no? But we have had two women presidents in the Philippines. Nauna pa tayo sa America. America that has not had even one, no? So would you say our women presidents were better leaders as a whole than the male presidents? Cory Aquino and Gloria Arroyo, the two presidents. Oh.
Let's talk about Cory Aquino. She had relatives, certainly, but the one thing that she promised she was going to hand over, everybody was saying, no, she's going to run for president again. And Cory couldn't wait to get out of the presidency. You know what I mean? She was there because the people asked her to be there. She didn't want to be president. She was actually forced by the people to say, you're the only one who can defeat Marcos, right? Mm-hmm. She had no political bone in her body. Cory Arroyo naman.
Would you consider her dynastic? Kasi anak din siya ng dating pangulo, no? Makapagal.
Ang dynasty is a group of people who are simultaneously.
Oh, that's what you mean then.
Yung replacing each other. Mm-hmm. You know, governor.
Parang one family holding on to power by just...
At the same time, or succeeding each other. Like, I do not consider Mar Rojas dynastic because patay na yung, you know, his father was dead, etc. You know, he was the only one. The Aquino dynasty on. That is a dynasty.
Si Pinoy.
Mm-mm. Cory and then Noynoy. When she left, Noynoy ran for Congress.
Well, just to refresh, since you were talking about President Cory Aquino from the 1980s, no, 1986 to 1992, baka hindi naalala ng ibang listeners natin, you actually served in her cabinet, no, as economic planning secretary. So you were able to observe her firsthand, no?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so just before we leave this topic of women leadership styles, no? Because she was the first woman president of the Philippines. How different do you think she was compared to her predecessors na lahat lalaki?
She was more simple. She was more straightforward. I mean, she didn't try to... She wasn't trying to build political capital. She was just trying to serve the country. I think that was the big difference. The others, you know, they had other aims in mind.
They were really planning to be president from a young age, siguro.
They had their children in mind and their wives in mind, etc. And Cory didn't. I mean, there was a time when she forbade her brother or her sister-in-law entry to the palace, etc. She was really great. She wasn't that prepared for the presidency, but she gave it all she got. And she didn't make a single centavo. I don't know about her brothers, etc., but she did not. I mean, she stayed in the same house she came from when she entered the presidency. And the same thing with her son. I mean, what is the name of his sister who is in television?
Chris Aquino.
Chris Aquino gave her share of the house to him. Mm. I mean, she gave it to him because he had no money. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, you compare that with all the other presidents, even generals who have gotten out, and all of a sudden they have huge houses, etc. This guy, Noynoy Aquino, didn't have a single big house to go to or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He just stayed in his mother's house na minana niya, na binigay sa kanya ni Chris yung kanyang share. Just kung ano pa ang gusto mo dyan.
One criticism of Cory Aquino, and I guess other women leaders have probably been accused of that as well, is she was not tough enough, no? She was not strong enough, lalo na pagdating sa mga military figures in her cabinet and around her. And one reason why, you know, her government was kind of a victim of so many coup attempts, no?
Ikaw naman, Hamgi, she was not tough enough. You know, hindi siya nagmumura. Hindi siya, you know, macho. Is that what you mean by toughness? I think she was one tough lady because she ran that candidacy, that campaign against the president. He was insulting her all over the place, remember? Mm-hmm. He said, you know, women's places are in the bedroom, that sort of thing. And
yeah, that was Marcos talking about her
as a
candidate, no? No, but once she was in power, I mean, in other words, if she were a man, do you think she would have been, there would have been as many coup attempts?
The reason why there were coup attempts against her is because she was a woman. These were done by military men who wouldn't dare coup attempt against a man, but they thought woman was fair play. I mean, there's this macho mentality. You see, where were the coup attempts? Only under Cory and under Gloria. Bakit kaya?
That's an interesting point.
Oh, yes. It's not only an interesting point. I think it's an excellent point. Was there any coup attempt against a male president? No. It's only against women. So that means, to me, you have some kind of macho mentality, a bully mentality, which I hope is gone now in the military. Mm. I hope so. Anyway.
But wouldn't that be an argument for the next woman leader to be, yun nga, to be harsher or to be more macho?
No,
or to put military people in their place? Ganyan.
You don't have to be harsh to be tough. My goodness. I mean, she faced those military coups. She didn't hide under the bed.
Like what a famous columnist said, no?
Yeah, poor guy. You know, he made a joke, but she was very sensitive about that. But I don't think that, you know, to be tough, you have to be harsh. You can be very, very polite and still put the blade in.
But the fact is, Cory Aquino did survive all of those coup attempts, and she finished her term.
And she passed the country on very well. And I think Gloria was one of the most qualified presidents we ever had.
Like you, she was an economist at UP, you know. But just to rewind a little bit, no. Since we're recalling past times, I want to rewind even further. No, I first heard your name, no, as one of the UP economics professors that produced this famous white paper on the fall or the decline of the economy in 1984, no, under the Marcos regime. This is right after the Aquino assassination, which of course changed the course of history and affected the economy. And then you described how the economy was mismanaged for more than a decade, no? And for an academic paper, or you know, something produced by academics like yourselves, I mean, it made quite a big impact, no? But my question now is, after that, and it was very well documented, no, paano na mismanage yung economy under President Marcos back then, no? How could it be now that many ordinary people think that that was a golden age for the Philippine economy?
You know, I'm just as puzzled as you are, but apparently it's been going around for years. I mean, ever since 1998, or when did Imelda Marcos ran for president? 1998.
Yes.
That's been going around. I mean, that ibibigay yung pera na yung namana nila from, I don't know. This Taliano story is quite new. when I was interviewing Imelda, she said that her husband's basement in San Juan was full of gold that he got, I don't know, some Yamashita treasure or something. She did not tell me anything about Italiano family. That is how the story has been evolving over the years. Now there's Italiano family and that they own this. But you know, that is the problem with the not only this country, but all countries now. The age of disinformation, the age of massive, I don't know why it spreads. I think it is social media, but it is so easy to verify by merely fact-checking. I mean, the paper that you mentioned earlier about the economy, that was done by, I don't know how many of us faculty members, we spent the entire summer, you know, just doing the research, et cetera, before bringing it together. That's a fact-based, evidence-based paper. Now, this Italiano story is, I don't know where the evidence is. And yet the people believe it. I don't know how it can happen. You're the one who's been in journalism longer than I have. I don't know how it is done, but apparently there are quite a lot of people, and especially because of there is a carrot. There is a carrot. Apparently the people are convinced that when Mr. Marcos gets into power, then he will throw out to the people the money that they earned now from the Italiano gold.
What explains the appeal now or the attraction of another Marcos president? Is it simply disinformation or is it... Kasi iba-iba yung dahilan na nababasa ko, no? I mean, there are other columnists who try to explain this. One of them, I think it was Joel Butuyan, who said that we're still craving, you know, someone who will discipline us. That's why we voted in Duterte, and now we want another kind of strongman figure. And they remember, you know, Bongbong's father was a strongman.
It's been 40 years, 45 years since Marcos fell, right? Mm-hmm. About
1986.
So two generations have come and gone. And then they say history teaches, but man never learns. It's not just us. It's been so long ago, and people like me who have lived through it are dying out. And the people who are poor and are hoping for some, you know, the ship will come in, are putting their hopes on this Italiano story as the ship that will come in, that when Marcos comes in, they'll be given $1 million each. You know how much.
Well, a campaign promise is one thing, no? But the way we remember history is another. And some have said that this shows a failure of education. No? We weren't able to educate this generation of voters so that they will be able to discern, no? Ano ba talaga yung nangyari sa nakaraan? No? And of course, you were an educator for a long time. I mean, what's your view of that? I mean, is this a failure of education of an entire generations of Filipinos?
I think maybe the secretaries of education failed to look at the text that they were teaching the children. I don't think it ever reached the secretary level. I mean, there was Luistro, there was Andami-Dami, very good, DJ De Jesus, etc. And yet they didn't, apparently there were some textbooks that really glorified the Marcos years. You know, they overlooked it.
I find that a bit ironic because we've had two Aquino presidents and you would think they would try to correct that. My point lang is there have been opportunities to correct these distortions of history. No? So parang sayang kasi now we might all become victims of disinformation perpetuated through maybe, as you say, the textbooks in our education system.
Before anything from the candidates, you know, their mga press releases, ipa-fact check muna natin. That's the first line of defense. Hindi ba? Yung Italiano story, fact check. I mean, the gold that they are talking about that they have is more than the gold that has ever been produced in the world since gold was produced.
Yeah,
did you know that?
Yeah. I've read that. I don't know how many people actually know that. But
if we should just bring it out and bring it out and bring it out, it will eventually get there.
Hey guys, this is Joseph Morong. Looking for news and the latest information? We've got you covered. Watch GMA News and Public Affairs Stand for Truth, the digital newscast where you can find the biggest stories of the day and analysis on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by me and powered by our young mobile journalist, Watch Stand for Truth. You can find it on GMA News and Public Affairs, Facebook and YouTube channels. This is where we stand. We stand for truth.
Gusto ko magtanong tungkol sa ekonomiya, no? Sinasabi kasi ng gobyerno na gumaganda na yung GDP projections natin. Anong outlook nyo sa economy sa 2022? At paano to mararamdaman ng ordinaryong tao?
Ito lang ang masasabi ko sa iyo, Howie, ha? According to the World Bank and according to NEDA, we will only get our 2019 GDP towards the end of 2022. We will have lost 3 years of GDP. Meanwhile, the country has been growing by 1.6%. The population has been growing. Mm-hmm. So obviously, when you do it on the GDP per capita basis, GDP per person, we not only have lost 3 years, we have lost 4 years. And if you look at household expenditures, consumption expenditures, our expenditures, we will have lost 5 years. So that's how much. According to CHUA of NEDA, we will not get back on track our GDP, our pre-COVID-19 track until 2030. So, I mean, that's the government itself talking about. And when I'm saying we have lost 3 years, we have lost 4 years, I'm just comparing the figures with the previous figures. So we're not talking about this is what I think and this is what it is. These are the facts. We've lost 3 years, 19, 20, 21, 22, 3 years. In 2022, we will only get back to 2019. Tingnan mo ang what we are fighting against. And don't say it's the pandemia. It's the pandemia and the way the government managed it. Because other countries, you know, in 2020, we contracted by 9.6%. Remember? The average for the world was 4%. The average for the ASEAN 5 was something like 3.6%.
So what was the main failure sa palagay ninyo? Why did we do worse economically than other countries?
Well, first was we didn't lock down early enough. And then when we locked down too long. And then when we locked down too long, we did not do our homework even then. We did not do the contract tracing. We did not do the testing. I don't know. Ang akala, you know, they thought that the lockdown was it. No, the lockdown is there to allow the health authorities to be able to test, trace, you know, etc. And we didn't do that. All we were doing was operating it like a martial law thing, you know, mga checkpoints, you don't come in, you don't go out. But even when we were in, we were not being, the health procedures were not being done. And, you know, this is something that the School of Economics has been talking about since April of 2020, but hindi nakikinig eh.
What was the School of Economics talking about? Ano yung main critique ng School of Economics?
How it should be done, you know, and that it should be done yung by sectors, hindi yung total lockdown, this is what we're doing now. We're doing lockdown in some areas, and in Manila, we've locked down only in some barangays, etc. We should have been doing that before to allow a lot more work to be done. And then we delayed the vaccination. Remember, Pfizer was here in June of 2020, and it was only in December of 2020 that President Duterte signed. I don't know why. I really have no idea why, but they were all afraid of the president. And look, who did they have for the interagency task force on COVID? Who was the head? The head is a general. For God's sake! Why he was a general? Hindi mo maintindihan. I mean, he may be a very good general, but you know, he knows nothing about epidemiology or whatever it is. You know, just leave it to the experts. Hindi ba? And then they said, oh, we will have 70% vaccination by the end of December. It's already January 2022. Galvez said we will have it 70% vaccinated by the end of December. Ano nangyari? Wala. Hindi nangyari yon. I think it's 55% pa lang up to now. You know what I mean? they keep on. I don't know. Hindi ko maintindihan.
The year, no, the year just passed was really full of bad news. No, may typhoon Odette pa bago magpasko. No,
but I just want to make it absolutely sure that our listeners understand that it is not just the pandemic that killed us. It is how we managed the pandemic that really brought us down. It is shown by our growth compared to the average growth rates in our region and in the world. And it's shown how we managed the pandemic, different criteria, different indicators. And we're always the lowest. So we did very badly. And that is why the elections this year are so, so important. Because if we are going to elect people who are going to be thinking like the traditional politicians, we're dead, do or die.
Just in the past year, you've written a lot about the controversies that have happened. Dami rin controversies. You know? But what should we remember about 2021? I mean, just to do a little reflection about the year just passed.
Nagkahalataan.
Tungkol saan?
Kasi the president's 0 to 10 point socio-economic program is supposed to be embedded in the Philippine Development Plan 2017 to 2022. And every year, the Philippine Statistics Authority monitors all the indicators that can be monitored every year. And it comes out just in July, just before the president's State of the Nation address. Since 2018, 2019, 2020, yung just last July, talagang we have the number of indicators that we are not going to be able to reach according to them, huh? According to the government, are more than the number of indicators that we will be able to reach. And as far as I am concerned, the number of indicators that we have not been able to reach are the more important indicators. You know, I cannot understand why this president did not use that, you know, that the Philippine Statistics Authority's own StatDev, Statistics on Development, to hire or fire his people. If these people were not working, they should have been fired. Hindi ba ganun yon? In terms of its monitoring of the different indicators that should show that we are performing well. Our corruption indicators, all downward. Our governance indicators, all downward. You know, we were trying to go upward, all downward. Rule of law, just go. You know, we just sank so much. And those are the problems the next president has to address. You know, you have to have good leaders who listen to the people. You have to have the people participate. And then you'll be able to do what you have promised them that you are going to do. You have to have the rule of law. The rule of law is the basis of governance. Because, you know, the rule of law is there to prevent the people in authority from taking advantage, from abusing.
I want to go back to the gender question again. Because it seems the president has really focused much of his ire on particular individuals, many of them women.
It's the same strategy or the same philosophy that egged the mutineers and the coup attempters. Basta women, kaya, akala nila, kaya nila. Well, hindi nila nakaya si Cory and hindi nila nakaya si Gloria. But they will not do it against males. So this is the same thing. This is the same kind of value of acculturation. I don't know what it is. You know, if it's a woman, she cannot possibly be good. There must be something wrong.
That's an important point, no? But I'm just wondering, is there any academic research? I mean, since you go back to the coup attempts against Cory, who was a woman, and then up to now, you have another strongman type of leader, you know, really focusing his attacks on women again.
No academic.
I mean, you're making kind of a sociological or even a social psychological point.
No,
there
I'm just
about Filipino men. You know, picking.
No,
on
I'm
women,
not saying no. Filipino men. Some Filipino men, especially
okay.
Those who are the army type, the police types,
or the ones in power,
gangster types. No. I mean, he and Donald Trump are like Bubsy twins. They're together. No, really.
But do you think that that has an appeal to voters? Because Trump did win an election as well and did surprisingly well in the last election, kahit natalo siya, and Duterte did win an election. And so that somehow that kind of, I don't know if you would call it a pathology, but it appeals apparently to a lot of voters.
People like men to be masters. Why not?
And there are women voters who vote for these men as
well. I'm sorry to say that is true too. But there are exceptions to the rule. There are men who are, I mean, I do not consider you a narcissistic, you know, I'm master of my household. Are you the master of your household?
No, my wife is actually. She's the master in general.
You know what I mean?
And I have no
problem
with that.
What I mean to say is men who are self-confident, this is the research talking, men who are self-confident generally don't raise their hands against women or try to put them down. Men who are self-assured know their worth.
Frankly, I agree with you. I think we should let more and more women lead, not just in the Philippines, but around the world, and not just countries, but all kinds of institutions. I think the world would be better off. That's my own personal belief.
I would like to have a legislature where the majority are women, you know, both us in the Senate and the House. And I think we're going to have at least the research that is done on countries when it's the women who are doing it, so much more social legislation comes out, you know, for the poor, for education, for health, etc. Then it's done, you know, in other legislatures and in other presidencies. So I think it's very important, really, that we allow the women to lead.
Well, COVID is spiking again in the Philippines, as you know. No, how do you think this will affect the economy in 2022? Anong forecast niyo for our economy?
Sandali lang, ha? It is spiking again, but you must also look at the other data. I mean, I don't, you know, the data is that about 76% or 79% of those cases are either mild or asymptomatic. You know, and our deaths from the COVID have been 1.9%. That's very, very low. And the pressure on the hospitals at this point is still very, very low. 22%, you know, of capacity, 25% of capacity. So let's not just look at one data, the positivity. That's really very strong. But the fact that we have been vaccinated, 55% of vaccination, has made that the impact much, much less severe.
But that's on people's health. But in terms of the economy, it's leading to, you know, restrictions again, like alert level 3 na tayo, which means, you know, there's more limitation to our movement in terms of openings of restaurants and other establishments. So that affects economy.
Well, all they have to do is, you know, require vaccination papers in the restaurants. Mm-hmm. And it should be all right. Let's not get carried away. If you are vaccinated and you have been booster shots, you are all right. The problem is that some people are not yet vaccinated. And that's what we're worried about. There should be not much effect on the economy if we do our targeting properly. Allow the vaccine workers to work and stop the unvaccinated from working, or have them wear masks. Masks pala are the more important than the hand washing, etc.
In other words, we should open the economy and just make sure that everyone's vaccinated, and make sure that the vaccinated are the only ones served in certain establishments.
You let the tourists come in. You quarantine them. If they survive quarantine, you let them come in and enjoy. Right? Except that what has been done, according to the latest news, is that somebody comes in and is quarantined, and then the hotel lets them go. They get paid and lets them go. Talagang, parang, you know, if it's not the government, it's the private sector. I cannot blame the government for that. It's the private sector. It's the hotel. No wonder our positivity rate has gone so high.
You know, we've kept you for a long time, Maring Winnie, but I just have a last question. In 2010, one of your impassioned classroom lectures went viral, no? Because I think you give a traditional last lecture of the semester or of the year,
last
no?
message. And, one of your students. Every end of the semester, I give my.
And one of your students recorded it and posted it. And it went viral, and you know, you read the comments. Some young people, not all of them are your students, but they say, you know, it kind of affected their lives, etc. Basically, you told your students, no, that they needed to stay in the country. This is in 2010. And would you change your message today? Would you begrudge students today for wanting to go abroad, considering the country's prospects?
I don't mind them going abroad as long as they come back. And I was talking to UP students, because UP students, they are subsidized by the people of the Philippines, whether or not they pay full tuition or not, because that full tuition is only 1/5 or 1/4 of what it costs the Filipino people to educate these students. And I told those UP students, there's two things, honor and excellence, and honor comes before excellence. Honor means, you know, you don't cheat it. I gave a whole thing because I said our justices of the Supreme Court, our chief justices are all UP, and our presidents were mostly UP. Ano nangyari? You know, so we are part of the problem instead of part of the solution. And when they go abroad, they should at least pay back the Filipino people for having educated them and then letting them go and earn their money abroad, even if they send it home. They only send a part of it home. We're talking about the UP-educated students. My God, and one doctor, you know, computed, and he said, one UP doctor, he's abroad, and he has been abroad ever since, you know, since he graduated. And he was very angry with me, and he computed, he said, you know, because I said, if you don't come back, at least pay back the people of the Philippines with interest. You know, and that doctor computed, and what he was computing is what he paid as tuition, how much he paid as tuition, and he wants to pay back. I said, that's not what it is. You paid as tuition, but the Filipino people paid three times that or even more. As a medical doctor, you know, they don't understand. Why don't you pay back? That's what I was saying. And who else but the Filipinos can get the Philippines out of this mess? And why are you going abroad when you are so talented and so intelligent and so educated? I said, you be your creme de la creme. My God. And then you go abroad and then you send $1,000 a year here and you think it's enough?
We'll let you go now, Maring Winnie. You've been very generous with your time.
No, I like talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we love hearing from you. And we haven't had this opportunity to talk at this level and this length of time.
Especially since you admitted, Howie, that your wife has at least an equal part in the running of your family. Very few people would admit that.
Yeah. Well, I happen to have married a very sensible woman, no?
Yeah, so
a product of your alma mater as well. May you keep teaching us for a long time.
I intend to until I die.
Yes, well, keep swimming and stay healthy. Mabuhay kayo, Professor Winnie Monsod. Thank you so much.
I hope this is a happy new year. I hope you get your heart's desire this new year.
The podcast team has reached out to Education Secretary Leonor Briones, NTF Against COVID-19 Chief Implementer and Vaccine Czar General Carlito Galvez Jr., and the IATF for their comments. But they have yet to respond as of the time of publishing this episode. President Rodrigo Duterte has defended his decision on appointing military generals like Galvez to lead the fight against the pandemic, saying that one need not be a doctor, as they are quote-unquote transacting a business rather than a matter of medical science. Meanwhile, presidential aspirant Bongbong Marcos has denied in previous reports his association with camps making promises of gold or cash to be distributed to Filipinos if he gets elected.
This story was produced by Shai Lagarde and Pau Requesto and edited by J.R. Magdoto with the wonderful people of GMA News and Public Affairs Digital. Thank you for listening until the very end. Nakakatalino yan, promise. Spotify noted our high retention rate in 2021, and with attentive listeners like you, we intend to keep that streak going in 2022. Follow the Howie Severino podcast on your favorite streaming app. Love the truth, people. Mabuhay kayo at ingat lagi.